Good morning. We're continuing on our conversation of selling of the chametz to a non-Jew. And we said that ideally when somebody sells the chametz, it should be removed from his possession. For example, from his house, from his apartment, from his office, whatever it may be, the purchaser, the non-Jewish purchaser, should take it out of the Jew's possession. Nonetheless, we said that we can be lenient if that is very difficult. For example, it's a lot of chametz to be removed. Accordingly, we can be lenient, leave it in the possession of the Jew, but there are four conditions. Yesterday we discussed the first condition of giving access to the non-Jew whenever he so desires, ideally giving him a key, but in the absence of giving him a key, we have to be available or have somebody else who has the key that can give him access at any time he desires to take his chametz. The second condition is what we're going to talk about today. There's some poskim that are of the view that it's not enough to sell the chametz. We actually have to either rent or sell the real estate upon which the chametz is located. So this is given, there are at least three rationales given for it. Number one, if we just have chametz in our house and it's just sitting there and we haven't also rented or sold the real estate, it's like a marasayin or chshar concern. It looks like the Jew is simply keeping chametz in his possession. So that's concern number one. Concern number two is that the Jew is so used to eating his chametz, so he very well may go and eat of the chametz unless we do something more significant, a more significant transaction. In other words, selling or renting the real estate there also. So even that real estate is a buffer zone that the Jew is not going to so easily walk in and take the chametz. Number three, as we'll see at the end of today, Rav Moshe Feinstein says the reason that this is another form of kinyan, that we are selling the chametz via the chatzer, via the Torah's chatzer, by renting or selling the chatzer to the non-Jew. So that's another form of giving an acquisition, a kinyan to the non-Jew and acquiring the chametz. Now, just to mention from the beginning that the Pri Chadosh is of the view that this concept of renting or selling the property is Mishnas Chasidim. It's a bell and whistle. It's not Mi'ikar Adin. It's sufficient to simply sell the chametz itself, but we don't have to do the rental or sale. Now, when it comes to the rental or sale, it's a machlokis in the poskim, which is preferable? Is it preferable to sell the real estate upon which the chametz is, or simply to rent it? So there are poskim that say you have to sell it, and that's based on two different rationales. Number one is Rashi is of the view that when you rent something to somebody, he is not kone. In other words, the owner of the property is still the owner of that property, and a socher, a renter, doesn't have an ownership in that property. So accordingly, we would have to sell it in order to give the non-Jew an ownership in the property upon which the chametz is resident. So that is rationale number one. Rationale number two is brought by the Bach, but more explicitly by the Prima Gadim, that if we were renting the property to the non-Jew for Pesach, we are actually benefiting from the chametz. And chametz during Pesach is asur b'hana. If we're renting him the place that the chametz is, he's paying us to keep the chametz there, we are having a hana, benefit from that chametz. So because of that, we should sell the property in advance of Pesach and not simply rent it for the duration of Pesach. Shita number two is not that we sell the property, that we rent the property where the chametz is. And the rationale here is because if we're selling the property, it is clear that this whole thing is a sham. Who sells a property for a few days? It would really be viewed as a fraud, and accordingly, we want to make it more in the form of what would be reasonable, and what would be reasonable is we're selling the chametz, and we are renting the property upon which the chametz is resident, as long as the non-Jew owns that chametz. But selling, we know that would be a silly thing to do, because we know that there's no real teeth in a sale of property for what's expected to be a short amount of time. So whether it's a sale, or whether it's a rental, that's the shita, that you have to also not only sell the chametz, but the area upon which the chametz is resident. The Igros Moshe encapsulates this concept as follows. Tzarich lahasir makom hachametz, you have to rent out the place where the chametz is located, kedei shigikne hanochri gam betoras chatzar, so that the non-Jew is kone the chametz also via a kinyan and the chatzar. And he's just going to skip a little bit. He says that when you sell it, you have to write in the shtar of the sale that the house is located at this place and it's located, the chametz is in this place. And he says that the time that you as the seller appoint the rabbi who's going to act as your shaliach, you actually have to authorize him explicitly explicitly that you're making him a shaliach not only to sell your chametz, but also to rent out the place where the chametz is. And not only that, that would be insufficient to simply sell the chametz and rent out the place where it is. You also have to give the non-Jew the right of passage to get from your front door to the place that the chametz is located. So all that should be included in the shtar, especially in the shtar when the rabbi enters into a relationship and sells the chametz to the non-Jew. It should say explicitly that we are selling you the chametz. We're not only selling you the chametz, we're renting you the place that the chametz is, and you also have an access right to go through the house to get your chametz should you so desire. Now, Rav Moshe adds on, and this is a very important point, that when we're renting that area to the non-Jew, what's going to happen if we have certain things that we may need from there over Pesach? So we would have to list in the shtar, in the agreement between the Rav, our appointee who is selling the chametz, and the non-Jew, it should say explicitly that we, as the seller, the Jew who owns the house, is retaining a right of passage, a right of access, even to that room that's either being sold or rented to the non-Jew in case we need to get something. Otherwise, we would have no opportunity, no ability to take out of that area what we have left, even if we need it for Pesach. So that is the relationship that we have to enter into. Just to be clear, it has to have an ashtar between the rabbi. First, we authorize the rabbi to do all these things, and then the ashtar between the rabbi and the non-Jew and purchasing the chametz. It's not only that it says we're selling the chametz, it says we're also renting the area that the chametz is on. We're also giving, number three, a right of passage throughout our house, through the house, not throughout the house, but through the house to get to that chametz. And in addition, if the Jew wants access still to that place that he's renting to the non-Jew, he would have to say explicitly that we are retaining a right of access to that area, even though it is rented out to the non-Jew. And Amir Tashem, tomorrow we will continue with the third of the conditions which enable us to keep the chametz in our houses rather than removing it when the non-Jew has purchased it before Pesach.